Before we get into the Chassidus, I want to ground tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is what we can learn about gender from Bereishis, from the creation of Adam and Chava. Right? And so it takes its root, it's a mimer that we're going to learn, a mimer from the Altar, that'd be the Bala Tanya, which is rooted in these psukim, which I've handed out to you. Okay. The one that we're, which is the Divrei HaMaskil, the words that begin the mimer that we're going to learn, is in the first page. It's not good for the man, the translator, that man, Ha'odom, the man, to be alone. So I will make for him a helpmate complementing him. So what does this tell us?
A man needs a woman.
And what does a man need a woman for?
Great question.
Well, no, what does the pasuk, what does the pasuk say? What does the pasuk say?
Oh,
an Eze Kenegdo. I missed that.
What did you say?
To compliment him.
To compliment him. And yes, to compliment him. But Rashi tells us exactly what's the nature of this complementary relationship. Look at the Rashi. And then I've underlined the helpmate.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't hear?
Yes.
An ezer kenegdei. What does Rashi say? He looks at it as two opposite words. If he's of a certain character, she helps him. She's an ezer. And if he needs some kind of rectification, so she'll push back on him. Happened to me tonight. No, and it was so interesting that I was coming here to learn to do this when I was engaged in a conversation with my wife, and my first reaction to what she said was, no, that's not. And I finally like loosened up enough to listen to her and walked away actually believing she was right.
I think it's starting a song.
And it started with Kanegdo in the simple meaning of like she or I were on opposite ends of the spectrum on this idea. And then as I began to listen more to get rid of my kasha, right, the hardness of the man, and listen to her more flexible approach. I'm looking at Elisheva because we talked about this in the daytime about the meaning of Daita Kala, one of the meanings of Daita Kala, which is more, we interpreted it as a certain lightness, which means a certain flexibility. And here I am telling the tale, right, about a man and an Isaac Kenegdo. So that's the notion. But the man, so the point, but the major thing.
What?
Hi, Roy. Whoa, Shalom Aleichem. Come over to the men's side.
Special guest.
The first part of the, we've ignored the, guys, the first part of the pasuk, which is the Divrei HaMaskil of our mind, that it's not good for a man to be alone. So what do we learn about the first man, the first Adam? That he was alone, right?
Oh.
He was alone. There's a one. Turn the page. I got three things to learn before we go into the moments. So we learn just from the Bible, right? Bible study, right? That man was Ha'odam, the man. We'll have to translate it. We can't translate it, the man, meaning the masculine, the human, was alone, right? And it wasn't good for this human to be alone. So God made an Ezer Kenegdo. And we call that Ezer Isha. Why do we call it Isha? This is the second page that I flipped over. This one shall be called a woman, for this one was taken from a man. So again, we don't take a man from a woman. We take a man from a human. And this human, as we'll see on the next page, a Rashi on the next page, what was this human? God created him, God created man in his mold, in his image. He created them male and female. Now look at the Rashi which I've underlined. He created them male and female. Zochat unakeva bara oisa. So here we have a single thing called Adam expressed as a plurality. And a them. And the plurality is that he's created, he, this individual entity, is created, as Rashi says, with two faces, right? He creates him with two, this the bottom Rashi on the page. Shabora Shnei Partsufim. He was created, this Adam, was created with two faces, ostensibly a male and a female face. But Hasidus and Kabbalah understand the word Partsuf to mean a structure. So, and why we use face, and explain why we use face as a metaphor for structure. If you look at someone's face, a face is only a face if it's a composite of a number of things. You don't look at someone's right eye, left eye, nose, and fit. The face is a composite. So the word face means, essentially, or at a little deeper level, composite, a structure. So man, this Adam, was built as a structure of two entities called male and female. And then later, the female part was split out from him, from that, not even caught, from that entity, and became outside of that entity. So basically, these are the scriptural bases of the Maamar that we're about to learn. It's essentially about how singularity turns into duality. And the duality that we're going to speak about is the primal duality of male and female. So far, so good?
I love it.
Primary duality.
The primary duality is male and female. And we'll let the Alter Rebbe explain that. Let me see what questions come up.
Oh, meaning duality was created with man, with Adam Chava?
Duality is expressed down here below, the last of the entities of creation, through the splitting out from a singular entity, which had within it the potential to become a duality. That's the way that duality or multiplicity coming out of singularity expresses itself down here. Mm-hmm. But that structure, singularity, Hashem Echad, here is Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, right? But where then does duality come from? We discussed this a little bit in the Tanya Shir that we have in the morning. Where does duality come from? There's something embedded in that apparent singularity which gives the power to express from that apparent singularity a duality. And that expresses itself, to answer your question, on all levels of creation. We're speaking outside the minor, but in terms of Hasidus, we know that the structure of all of reality is the structure of what's called Adam Kadmon, the supernal man. Mm-hmm. But we're going to now touch the supernal human, right? And the supernal human has a right side and a left side, in the middle, which is an integrative side. The right side is called Abba, father, Chokhmah, male. The left side is called Bina, mother, female. So male and female are embedded in the structure of reality all the way back to the beginning of God's thought of creation. That answer your question? Hi, long time no see. Tananya, you're going to need another chair.
I made cookies, Roy and Tananya. Go for it. Oatmeal.
How is it called itself?
What?
How is spelled
S-T-E-O-P.
I just wanted to know, did we answer your question?
But the thing is that there is a lot of duality in the rest of the creation story from the beginning.
Yeah, the whole creation is a manifest.
Even funnier, Bereshis, Bez Rashis, two beginnings.
Bez Rashis, two heads.
So there's that.
Yes.
And there's also... Okay, but there's also like sun and the moon, the upper waters and the lower waters.
Also male and female. Sun projective, moon
projective. Right, I'm saying there's more duality. Adam and Chava
all the duality,
are not the first instance of duality.
No, they're one of the last.
The first instance of duality is...
They're one of the last. They were created on the
sixth... Day and night. It's the first day of creation.
There you go. Huh? There you go. Light and darkness.
And so Adam and Chava represent what?
Adam and Chava represent the manifestation of duality from an apparent singularity.
Another example. Another expression.
use the word expression. It's not the invention of duality, but it's another
Expression is the right word. Duality is an expression of a potential, a koya, the potential that exists within the singularity of the infinite creator.
Yeah.
And it's expressed at all levels of creation.
I remember your question. The question was, like Adam the Father, duality invented there?
Right.
That was the question.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
It's a very, very deep, in-depth expression of it.
No.
Are we learning something today? Look at this. Whips it out. They're so good. I had a lot of batter. There should have been more.
How many of these should I not eat?
Oh my God, all of them. Please, I'm not taking them home. Come on,
you have a mimer?
They're so good.
That's the mimer. So these are the. You missed the word. These are the sources in scripture for what the mind is going to be talking about.
Well, I posted the link to the recipe on there.
Yeah.
What's up there? What's there not?
This what's up there.
The specific that came, what's up
there? I'm not
in it. I can just send you the link. They're so good.
My lifespan, what's up groups is like.
In what?
My lifespan.
In what's up groups?
In any what's up groups like.
Oh, I know.
Day.
It's overwhelming.
Yesterday was amazing. I like cooking for Pesach. I wasn't busy with Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp. It was amazing.
Okay. So let's go. We're going to start. For some of the newcomers, first of all, we always begin with any dedications or any refuah shleimus. First of all, this class in general is dedicated to the Elias and the Shema of Shlomi ben Moshe.
Amen.
Yes, Bundy Freundler, a very good friend of many of us at the table, and a powerhouse in terms of bringing people back to Yiddish. And he had a lot to do with the crystallization of this class about, I don't know, 4 years ago, this last year's all about? A long time. And one more that I have on my mind is the Ilui Neshmas of Yosef Yitzhak Ben Feger. One of my chavarus is for about 6 years who passed away about 2 months ago. Remind me very much. Yoske Bilmovsky.
Oh, wow. You know? I know Jod.
Taught me a lot of issues. And a lot of other stuff. Anybody else want to bring anything to the table?
Marshall. Joe Pincus.
We're bringing up people that...
Healing Nishmas or Refuah Shleimus?
Just the archetype of Sub-Theft last night.
And Refuah Shleimus.
Thank you.
And Refuah Shleimus, Caleb Al-Khaya, and Adina Balke Balke-Bora.
Before I met my mother and my sister, my mother's Vigil Martha, that's Vigil Henda.
I just want to say, I hope things, this is, that you're here, your presence is an indication of things are a little better. Because you were pretty sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So happy to have you back.
Glad to be here.
Shimon Alevi Ben Rifka, I think.
Dina Koka Bat Yehudit.
We'll have before Shema.
Oh, Charn Alexandra, Bas Chana Esther. No, it's a Kadi.
Okay.
Yeah, named after the same
grandmother. Okay. Loi
Toivi
Yesod Levader. That was the first. Yeah.
Oh,
Mazel
Tov. Uncle Josh.
Thank you.
There you go.
Loi Toivi Yesod Levader. It's not good for me. This is our first pasuk. This is the pasuk that kicks things off. So it's not good for a person to live be alone. E'eseh, I will make for him an eseh kenegdoi, a helpmate opposite him. Kesiv, it's written. So we're going to talk about opposites at the beginning. Ki yeshemesh u'mogim havaya elokim. This is a pasuk. The pasuk says, a sun and a shield is havaya elokim. Sun radiating, of course. And shield the opposite, holding back the radiation. Ki havaya, so these are the two words, havaya lakim. That's what the pasuk tells us. So you ask a good question. Where does it begin? It begins with havaya hu lakim. That's duality. This is the first instance of duality. When the allness becomes named.
Havaya hu elokim.
Yeah.
Havaya and elokim are duality.
Shemesh u'mogim.
Chris Hashem, Shemot, the first example of duality.
Yeah. Havayelikim. These are the two names, right? And the two names which are totally opposite. One is a radiator. Yeah, one is a radiator and one is a shield.
That's not mentioned in the Parshat Bereishis, is it?
No, this Pasuk is not in Parshat Bereishis. It's somewhere else. But he's telling us that, why is he saying this? Because it's not good for a person to be alone. So I'm going to tell you that God, when he agrees with that, God agrees with that. Not only did he make a man, but he expressed himself in two opposite ways. Okay? Pirush. Yes. Havaya, he explains more. Havaya is Gilui, revelation. Yudkei Vavkei, that's the name, because Shem HaMafurish, he expressed name, the way God expresses himself. And his expression is primarily, or most importantly, an expression of projecting an energy of creation. And that's Hamshacha, it's a gili, it's a revelation, the Hamshachas Ha'ora, and it's a drawing down of a certain kind of radiation. This is the metaphor we use for God's revelation, light. And that becomes Lias Mokel His Havis Oilis. And that revelation from His allness, which was there so-called before the revelation, I mean, not just a little short thing, but I mean, most of us may just remember that the creation is something that occurs at some rather external level of God's consciousness. His deeper levels of consciousness is in Od Novado. There is nothing besides it. But at more external levels, it rises up. The first external level that we mentioned in Kabbalah and Chassidus is Ola Beratzonah. It rose up in God's will, a desire. Not the kind of desire we have, we're missing something, but just a desire. I want. And then, Ola B'Mashava, then it rose up in his thought. And what did it rise up in his thought to do? Livroy, to create. So he said, I mean, I'm not speaking, I just vernacular. Oh, so if I'm going to create, right, and that's what I really want to do. In fact, as we know from the Midrash, that's the whole end game, is that there should be a human down here below who makes and cultivates a garden, and so God can have a dwelling place in this far away from his own, you know, depth of consciousness, in this far away place called planet Earth. He wants a dwelling place, right? If I'm going to do that, well, it has to be a dwelling place. And there can't be a dwelling place if I'm the only show in town, right? So I've got to do something. So what does he do? He takes from the Makkah source of himself, and he expresses these two opposite motions, which are going to be the integrative powers of the entire creation, the flow and the ebb. The flow and the ebb, and the integration of flow and ebb, or the Avaya and Elohim, Avaya and Elohim. So it rises up in his place, which we call the Mokker, the source of everything. It rises up there, his Havas Olam, is to bring worlds into being. Ki Havaya, Yelashim, his Hava. Havas. So why we said Havaya is the main thing, because what is the word Havaya? It's Yud Hava. Yud Hava, Yud Ke Vav Ke, which means, in grammatical point, continual bringing into being, or continual being. That's what he is. He is a continual, uninterrupted, unprecedented, nothing precedes him, nothing postcedes him, if that's a word. And his being is just an essential being. That's why I'm called Havaya, Yud Hava. I'm always in a state of being.
Wait, what's Yud and what's Hava?
Yud is a grammatical point which indicates continual action. It's cited often in Chassidus in the Pasuk in Iyuv. Koy Ya'ase Iyuv. So Iyuv did all the time. Ya'ase. Ase mi'ayim sin hey to do. Ase.
Yeah.
And Ya'ase to continually do. So now we have...
future? Yeah.
It can be future also. It can be future also. But it's cited to be an example. The way it's used in the Pasuk in Iyuv, it's continual action. It's not future action. And therefore, it's utilized as a grammatical structure. And there are many examples of this, that just happens to be one, which can be meaning continual action. So there's a continual... And what the Hava is being, Hava, to be. So Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, can be understood there are many ways to understand it, but he's focusing on one, is Yud Havah, in the Lashon His Havas. His Havas is projection, flow, bringing out, ultimately, life, bringing things into being. Achim hoy ha'or ezum is galus and nemshech asvi es chayes in levarayim, kemei shehi. However, if this radiation, this aura, this bringing out of light, were to have been revealed and drawn out from the source to creatures as they are, as it is, if that light were to be drawn down as it is, kemei shehi, ba'atzmusa, in God's essence, lo'hoi ha'nevarayim klal aloifin shehem ato. The creation and all the creatures would not be what they are today. Why not? Because there would not be any ability for there to be something separate from him. Make sense or not?
Okay.
He's Ein Sof, right? And he exudes a light, which is called the Or Ein Sof. And that Or Ein Sof, that infinite light, has the power to bring things into being. But it doesn't have the power, since it's Ein Sof, to be infinite, it doesn't have the power to be finite. He has both of these within him. He, the allness, the mucker of everything. There's a famous expression that's worth taking note of because it's a key to a lot of things. Just as God has the power of, just as he has the power of limitlessness, he also has the power of limitedness. Because if he didn't, he would be lacking. If he couldn't limit. So he has to have Havaya, and Elohim, the Shemesh and the Mogen. They're both contained in him, in a state of potential. But to create a creation that is defined by limitation, worlds, this world, not that world, this creature, not that creature, right? He has to manifest that koyach ha'gavul. And that's not going to come from his havas, from shem havaya, which is just unlimited flow infinitely. So in order to manifest, materialize, if you will, the creation that he envisions in his mind and in his will, he has to do something besides exude the power of bringing things into being.
Havaya related to Chesed, and Elohim is related to Gevura.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
I just want to say, it says yes, Bereshit means in the beginning, but you could also read it Bara Yeshus.
Mm.
It created existence.
Very nice. Very good.
Good. All right, Rashi.
Very good. So, what does he have to do in order that things come into being the way they are now, the way they are now? Yeah, because if he didn't, because the life force which brings into being, would they be revealed? And what would it do? It would not create the possibility of an existence to feel itself as a separate existence. It would be, the way he expresses itself, it would be bittul b'metzius. It would be nullified in its existence. And you could also read it, and I think a little bit just deeper, the very notion of its metzius, of being a metzius, of being a something, would be mevatel, is nullified. There can't be any metzius other than God, unless God does something about this fact that he's got this infinite power, which, if left alone, will only exude infinity and not exude any finitude at all. Nicole. Everything would be just like it is in front of him himself, about which the Kabbalah tells us that Kula Kalecha Shiva, that everything which exists from his perspective is nothing. It is, because it is nothing. It's only an expression of him. So it's not something really apart, not really apart from him. Yeah. Kula is Kalecha Shiva. Everything, Kula. Kalua, like nothing. The Shiva is considered like nothing.
Chashuk.
Well, the Zayis, So therefore, he had to do something. Velazois also Hashem Yisbora. Therefore, Hashem, may he be blessed. What did he do? He made a mogen, a shield. Hashem Elokim. He made a shield. V'nirtak, and a sheath. L'shem Havaya, for the Shem Havaya. He put infinity, huh?
A sheath and a shield.
Are they what?
A metaphor.
Yeah, your metaphor, absolutely right. He took his light and he encased it. He blocked it. That's number one. That's called hiding. That's, I mean, in the language of Kavanah. He created a concealment. He blocked it and he diminished it so that it could fit into a encasement.
Like a Star Wars with the laser.
Like a laser, right. Exactly. So that's what he did. So he created a shield and a sheath for the name Havaya. Al yidei gevuras. Here's your gevuras. Through constraint. He expressed his power to limit. Just as he has the power to be limitless, he has the power to be limited. And he expressed the power to be limited with the name Elohim. Let's pass this thing. So he passed this over. He created this sheath among him. The shame for the shame. But who begins shame Elokim? And what is the sheath? Its name is called Elokim. Elokim is from Russian. Elian Elokim of powers. A sword. Very powerful. Very directed kinds of energies. That's the shank. He developed that encased as me, laser beam we used this morning, but it's a good example, right? There, you're taking a beam of light, whose nature is to be all encompassing and not limited whatsoever, and you're limiting it and channeling it. It retains that power of his hamas, because it's still the light, but it's contained in a, figuratively, metaphorically speaking, a sheath, which is the shame of the king.
Can I have a question? The world was created with chesed, right? I am chesed divine, right? So where does gevura, like, come into existence at all? If it's all chesed.
I'll give you an example.
And also, where is that in Hashem? Like, Hashem's limitless, right? But
I'll give you
all of a sudden, gevura's, like, knocks on the door, like, hey, guys, we're going to bring it in, you know?
Go ahead.
But it says that Hashem first created the world on din, and gevura.
And then
he thought that it wasn't good, and he created it on chesed. How could it be without chesed? How could even we understand chesed as flow? How could it be?
I'll answer your question first, and it's
probably the same question.
it pops up in his mind. If I'm going to have a creation, by definition, is something limited.
Oh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
That's dim.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw that if he just created it that way, things would be something, but they would be rigidly separate. They would have no integration with each other. Din is this way, my way or the highway, right? But he has to use din. That's the first one, because the idea of creation implies separateness. So din comes first in his mind. That's your thing. And then he sees that it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Why? Because if it's only din, then there's no sense of godliness in the world. He's completely,
there's no malleability,
there's no integration, there's no
avoidance,
there's no change, right? There's nothing to strive for. Things are what they are. But the worst case, the ultimately worst case, is there's no sense of relationship to God, because you are created in a manner of separate. There's no warmth. So he adds,
Right?
And the other way around, which has also brought a lot of consciousness, is the difference between floodwaters and rainwater. Oh, because we just blessed the rain. The rain tree. What's the name for rain?
Gashmi.
Gashmi is limitation, right? Right. And guess what? It's only by limiting the big waters that you get rainwater, which can be useful to grow and to plant. Otherwise, you get Noyach, you get the flood.
Right.
No. Only Chesed gives you flood, washes everything away.
Okay.
So he has to be Histarfus. No. There has to be Histarfus, a combination of Gevurah and Chesed. Gevurah so that things can experience themselves as a world, something separate from him. And Chesed, so that they can perceive the underlying unity and godliness, which is embedded in everything.
Or theme in everything
that
you're talking about.
The scheme. Theme. Oh, and a scheme.
Not
yeah.
A theme. Maybe, yes.
But it is a scheme. Remember, right. And a theme. Right. That's the theme
everything.
In everything. In absolutely everything.
There's two sides to every story.
And this will come back to a male and female
but then
and everything.
What's the answer to my question, though?
Yes.
Where
did the Gevurah come from? Too much chesed was a mavel, so he needs to add Gevurah in order to create a benefit.
But according to the way you learned, which came first, though? Gevurah and then chesed?
Yeah, first it rose up in demand. That's what the Mishnah tells us, to create the world with Mishnah and Gevurah. Because that's...
Hashem is all chesed. So Gevurah preceded chesed.
Because the thought of creation... The thought of creation forces Gevurah.
Right.
Separateness, right? Then it's hard to say it like this. Then it said, oh, well, I can't do it that way, you know? I mean, I want a separate world. I want a bunch of people sitting around a table. I want korbanos, you know? All these things are like items in my menu of things I want, and I can't get them without Gevurah. Otherwise, if there's no Gevurah, there's just me alone, right? But if it's just Gevurah, then I'm God. And there's no perception, there's no sensitivity, there's no, who are you serving? You know, just sacrificing a cow for what? Does somebody once a long ago said do it? No, that's not what a korban is. A korban is Lashon Kirov. We created the world in such a way that we can come close to him by mixing male and female chesed and Gevurah.
So the answer to my question is that Gevurah preceded chesed in existence.
In his, not necessarily in existence, but in his thought process.
Well, no, just thinking about creating a world of chesed.
Yeah.
And eventually,
it'll
chesed
yibana.
Eventually, that was the reality.
Yeah. Well, it is a chesed. That's, I'm sorry. Welcome back. Think of the rain, Moshe.
Huh?
Well, chesed yibana doesn't contradict this. It was built. Build implies you've got building blocks, right? Those are the Gevurah type.
That's something.
Those are blocks.
Concrete.
But the whole point is the chesed. He wants to be revealed. He wants, as the Midrash Tanhuma says, he wants a dwelling place in the lower world. He, his infinity, his allness, his Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Havaya, is Elohim. He wants Havaya to be expressed in Elohim. Chesed can only operate in a world if the world is made of, one big thing that we often say, it's Olam, the word for world, is the same word as Helam. Helam. Hey, Lamed Mem. Hey, Ayin Lamed Mem. Concealed. World. Ayin Lamed Mem. Right? World implies concealment, which is Gevurah. Right? But he wants us to have some appreciation, sensitivity, feeling, understanding of the Havaya, which is within. Otherwise, we're just cut off. So these two things about him and the king have to interoperate.
Well, just looking at ask if that related to the possible world of Chesed Yibana, that the way we'd understand it now is really sort of what you just said, which is Chesed Yibana is that Gevurah is what originally popped up when the idea of creation came about, but then realizing that Chesed is no point in creation. So therefore, Chesed Yibana is that the main thing is to have. Which really means that without the chesed, be no point in the world, but that you need to keep the balance.
Right. And really, you have no appreciation, you don't have ability to deliver chesed without Gevurah, the rainwater, versus the flood. For it to be kind, it has to be Gevurah.
Gevurah is truly the highest chesed, actually.
Well, Gevurah is actually rooted. So it's always true. The lower it is, the higher it's rooted. So, but anyway, that's a tangent. I'm going to stop for a minute because.
Because you're stopped over there.
No,
I know. I'll just continue.
Because we have a heroic from the Rebbe to do something that we neglected last time. The Rebbe, in an answer that Esther got to Brucha for this class, suggested in the answer that he gave Esther that it would be a good idea to ask people who would like to read, rather than just have me read. So, and without any force and without any arms.
The keyword was that the Rebbe said, as long as nobody is embarrassed.
As long as nobody is embarrassed. So, if anybody would like to take over from me and read, translate, or I'll help you translate, and I'll ask them that. You would like to? Okay, fine. Oh, you want to?
No, I'm just like looking at the words.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just like
the white fire and the black fire.
Yeah, we're looking good.
Looking good. Am I angle right there?
Yeah, I can't read these words without the kudos.
I would like to read because I think that my Hebrew is good.
Okay.
Pronounce it.
Will help. Okay, fine. So, Haynu al yedei hagavuris v'tzimtzum.
Where?
The line begins with ayin apostrophe yud al yedei gavuris v'tzimtzum. So what did he do? He needed to add an elokim to the mix, right? In order to, what's the right, well, to limit, to contract, to conceal a bit of the allness so that the separateness could be revealed. Hainu al yedei gavuris v'tzimtzum. You see it? And translate if you can as you go.
No, you
want me to translate? And then, through the attachment of or combining with the chesed or with the shem havaya elokim, then there was able to be a bringing into being of something which is called a yesh, or something which has definition and has a sense of separateness. And this is the meaning of elokim. It's a lashon of ruling, of dominance. Which is good. You know, this expression, shlomo hamela. There's no king without a people. So what does that come into play? He wants to be king. All the beratzonei limlo. That's another expression. I mean, there's a few expressions. All the beratzonei libra. It rose up in his mind to create. Also in his rose up in his mind to be king. And kingship is the dominant metaphor for how Hashem operates in the world. King's presence is felt everywhere, even though the king is not physically there everywhere. So God, in sense, himself, permeates every corpuscle and every subatomic particle of existence, but at the same time, our awareness of him is an awareness of something that's removed, something that we can't touch and feel. So there's no king without a people. So if he wants to be king, he has to create a bunch of subjects, i.e. all of creation.
Okay.
Huh? Not very that is not fun. You're a lonely king, right? Now this level, this that Melech, right? Malchus. Malchus is Shechina. Malchus is, we learned in Tanya, there are various expressions of the level of divine expression that's responsible, directly responsible for creation, is called Shechina. Its level happens to be Malchus, Malchus of Atzilus. It's also called Mother sometimes, or Sister, Brata. Mother is usually Bina, and Brata is Sister. But Malchus is feminine.
Maternita.
Maternita, yeah. Huh?
Brata.
Brat is Aramaic. Aramaic for daughter.
It's also an Italian show.
Bra is Russian. Yeah. Like bar mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
Is bra. Is a short name for
bar.
Aramaic for bra. Bra is male. And brata in Aramaic is female. Boy and girl.
Keep a bar, like whatever.
You know, we don't see, yeah, instead of Ben Yachar. It's just an Aramaic word instead of a Hebrew word.
Instead of like Benra, Rabbi.
Bar Yochai. Bar Yochai is a great example. He's the son of you. Bar is the son. Bar just means son. Bar Yochai is Shimon, the son of Yochai. Bar Yochai.
I thought of the,
we should
say this. Well, we're here to learn that.
No. But you just brought it up, because Shechina, she's also called a brother, sister.
I thought it
was. So this will get into an exploration of the whole creative process. The whole creative process of expressing, finding a way to express the the all-encompassing, infinitely powerful, creative energy, which is Havaya. And the process of being able to express that in something that's, relatively speaking, more tangible, more separate, more created, is the power of Malchus, which is the power of, and we've talked about this many times, the power of creation that exists in the womb of the mother. To be able to take energy into the womb and then transform it into something that is a new entity. So Malchus is feminine. Kingship, even though it's called Melech, and it's masculine, the function of Malchus is a feminine quality. It's an integrative quality. It integrates the ayin with the yesh. It integrates the allness with the substance. We'll talk more. He'll talk more about this. So this is called Shechina. Yeah? Because why? Why is it called Shechina? From the, this is a pasuk in Shmos, around the building of the temple. It says, Asali Mikdash, make for me a holy temple. Ishkanti Basechon. And my Shechina, my presence, will dwell amongst you. And it's through this midah of Malchus that God becomes enclosed in creation. So on the other hand, if this aura, this light, was revealed the way it is in God's essence, there would not be any creatures who would be able to defined and contain themselves as individual entities at all. We're just going. So pipe up if you have a question. Go ahead. Nizker. It's mentioned b'drushi razal in the interpretive writings of our sages. So it talks about the exile of the Shechina, God's presence being exiled. As it says, yeah, when we were exiled into Edom, which is Rome, Shechina went with them. God's presence was with them. Huh? Edom, the Edomites. The Edomites are the root of the Torah teaches are the roots of the Roman Empire. The Edomites. Just a little point here. What's he trying to bring out here? Shechina went with them. This has actually been the subject for all of us, Google and Learning Torah, Tanya, for the last 4 or 5 days, that the Shechina, which is the creative effusion of godly energy in all kinds of different things, never ever disappears. It can be, in fact, swept into exile because nothing exists. It is always true that Ein Od Melvado, that there is nothing besides it. That's always true. It's just that he's created a reality, another reality, which is the reality that we live with and that most of the upper level worlds live with also, that we have a certain independence from him. That's a perception. And it's a real perception because he really conceals himself in the Shem Elohim. He really puts his allness into a box, into a shield, and a sheet, right? But that allness is always there, as I said earlier, in every corpuscle and every subatomic particle. And it can go so far that there's so much darkness to the experiencer, from the experience of the one who's experiencing what's going on, that one loses the sense of what God wants out of this. And therefore can take the fact that you're alive and rock and rolling on the other side, on the dark side, the fact that you're alive and energized about it is only because you have a divine spark within you. Otherwise, you'd be a nothing. You couldn't even go have a party. There would be no you.
It's very comforting to know that concealment is one of the most challenging things to deal with.
Yeah.
Was built into the DNA of the world.
Of the entire cosmos. Exactly. From the beginning.
But in order for us to be able to experience it's very comforting.
I'll tell you a little bit more. It has to be a breakthrough. In other words, he, God, Hashem, we'll call him Hashem, right? So, but he takes this huge, unlimitable energy and creates a very big miracle. But for him, there's no miracles. And he breaks through, he pierces through into lower levels by narrowing himself and concealing himself. He breaks through what's called a parsis, the divisions amongst the worlds, all the way down. And we do inherit this divinity, albeit in a very encapsulated way, but it's within us, it's our nefesh, it's our godly soul within us. And he has entrusted us with the responsibility and the capability to break through the darkness and expose the godliness which is within us.
Which he concealed himself.
Yeah.
Even more so, doesn't it say Vashilu Vashara?
The what?
The Vaday Gam Sham Nim Pasha Mitzvara. It's like in the darkest times, that's exactly where you'll find Hashem.
Yeah.
That's where the greatest light comes from the greatest darkness.
Exactly.
First of creation.
I heard a word that Adam is Aleph Dam, and Gematria Dam is the same Gematria as Ayeka.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that I hadn't heard.
What was the connection?
Because Ayaka is like the highest one, Tshuva. But it's like the future tense of coming back to God.
And Dam down here below is the physicalization of the life force.
Yeah, Dam is like the part of Adam, part of all of us that's not the spiritual, so to speak. not the Aleph, the Dam. The Aleph is like the lungs, the Dam is like the liver.
Quite the Aleph is the other, connected. The Aleph is in the Dam.
Yeah.
The life force is in the blood.
The deepest, literally the darkest part of you is where like the highest form of truth is, the highest form of God, godliness is.
What's the Aleph in the blood, though?
The Aleph is the Aleph.
The Adam is Aleph.
Aleph Shaloyla. The master of the world. The Aleph.
Adam is a big amount of Ayakum.
If you take the letters and you go first letter plus the second letter plus the third letter plus the fourth letter.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So even when we're exiled in Edom, even when we're under the throes of captivity in the darkness, in the shading, in the Sitra Achra, you should know that if there's life there, it's because the Shekhinah is there. And this is a big issue that the Alter Rebbe had to explain about what the Baal Shem Tov saying. How could God be present in someone sinning?
I think Aliza was trying to say something.
I couldn't tell if you could hear me or not. Okay, back to the Ayaka. Would you please just go through how you did the gematria for that? I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm sorry, I'm a step behind.
Okay, I'll ask Roy, because Roy's the one who brought it to the table. She's trying to figure out how Ayaka is done. Can you do it? Or maybe it's
not a funky gematria.
How do you spell Ayaka?
How do you spell Ayaka?
So
oh, I see what he's doing.
How are you spelling it?
Did you hear that?
No. One more
he's
time.
He's taking
the snapshot of the word, but it's like the sound bite of the word.
He's not adding the letters singularly. He's taking one and adding to it, and then taking that total and adding the next letter, and then taking that total.
It's even not sequence.
But Dan is only 45, so...
What?
Dan is only 45.
Man.
Right, so how... Okay, so if we're doing Ayaka,
I think
so
we'll
how,
have to do this after school. We'll do this after school at recess.
My first class back, come on.
Okay, fine.
We'll
recess time. I want to be able to better understand. Thank you.
No.
I'm going to look at...
Okay.
I'm
saying
wrong.
Let's go. Okay.
Okay, where are we
Shrina Begalus. Shina Imohem, the Shina, when they went to exile.
Oh, it's corresponding, right?
Yeah, the Tanya and the Maimer, yeah.
Anyway, that's why I picked the 3 weeks ago, because I knew it was. Are you kidding?
That's what the alphabet is. Okay.
Right. The Indian gull is dead. The Indian of this gull is like this. I'm going to tell you what gull is like.
Do tell us. I'd like to know. Well, it's like a word with this.
Here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Okay, because the whole point of the descent and the drawings down of the light of godliness, may be blessed, as it's drawn down and enclosed in creatures and in the creation, and enlivens them through the contraction, the diminution of the Shem Elokim. Yeah. Into such a point that they can come into being the way they are, meaning limited things.
Right.
Yesh v'nifra. Like that soda bottle, right, and that cookie. Right. The whole purpose, the whole tachlis of this is for the sake that afterwards the yesh, the substantial individual stuff, will become buckled to the eye. The Rebbe had a very simple way of saying this. God, we mentioned this 100 times, right? God's job is to create yesh from ayin. Our job is to create ayin from yesh. Yes. I can explain. With the first part is okay with you? God creating something from nothing?
Yes.
Okay. The second part is troublesome.
I don't know that I would say troublesome. I would say the second part is what's hard, because that's our job. I said I don't know that it's troublesome. It's just challenging, because that's our job, and our job is.
You know what, Aliza? I'm gonna put this phone call through again. I'm gonna use another phone and call the same number. You could just hang in.
Okay.
And you're going to call, ready? You're going to call 712-770-5327. It's going to answer, and then you're going to ask you to enter a code. You don't speak.
Service is provided.
Hello? Hello? Huh.
Elisa, is that
what?
You?
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Good. Okay, now what are you saying? It's one conversation.
I was saying that the second part is troubling, that the second part is just challenging, because that's our mission.
Yeah, that's our mission, but I think Leslie wants to understand, okay, that's our mission. What does it mean? To create, to reveal the ayin. His job is to create something from nothing. Our job is to create. Maybe the word create is put in, it's throwing you off, because the Rebbe didn't say create. His job is to reveal something, I mean something differentiated, that's a something, from an allness which is called ayin. Our job is to reveal from this somethingness with which we find in which we find ourselves, the iron which is invested in everything. Okay.
I think maybe the word create is throwing off, and maybe if we use the word perceive, then it may be more clear, because it's not a difference in reality. It's a difference in our perception of reality. You know, where we think that we're a separate entity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the reality is that really when we, in terms of Bittul, that when we perceive, we're all really just part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're all connected, and that our individuality, it's one aspect, but the broader aspect is that of being part of the oneness. And so I think, I don't know if perception helps or perceive helps.
She's nodding her
head. She's nodding her head? Okay, hooray, hooray.
Elise has been with us for a long time. Good?
Good.
Excellent, thank you.
Phone a friend.
Okay. My pleasure.
Yes,
thank you.
Good. Okay, so where are we, Alisheva? Where are we?
Ayin. Where it's underlined is
but that's what we said, it's underlined. The whole purpose is for the sake is of his contracting himself to create a yesh, is that afterwards the yesh will become bakel, open itself up, lose its, what we called once, its appalling self-consciousness, right? There's a quote from Sylvia Plath. We should lose our appalling self-consciousness and become other, outside-directed. And the more, the farther outside we go, the more we find God.
Okay? On דרך מה שכתוב, בצבא השמיים לך משתחווים, שכל המלאכים צבא מעלה ומיכאל דבר וכולי, אם שהם בחינת יש ודבר, אבל הם בטלים אל העין.
Okay. What? So all the hosts of heaven, it says, it says, it's a pasuk, kol sabot shamayim l'chom mishtachavim. All the hosts of heaven bow down to you. So bowing down is an example of getting out of yourself, releasing your confinement, which means that all the angels, which are called the hosts of above, Michael, Gabriel, and they all have different names, in all the levels, and each one of them are different levels of expressing of some kind of concrete or defined reality, but they're all buckled to him. They bow down to him. So this is, they're an example of a yesh, like we are. They are yesh. Nechol has a characteristic, right? Gabriel has a characteristic. His characteristic, remember the three angels. He came to destroy Sodom. It's called, he's Gevorah, right? Nechol is Hesed. And Rachamil? Rafael. Thank you, is the healer, right? Rachamil.
Where did that come from? Who is that?
Right? Okay, so they each have discrete identities, but they're b'chomishtachavim. They give away their discrete identities by bowing down. That's the expression of that.
We're calling God Ayin, which is weird.
We're calling God Ayin.
But Ayin meaning we can't see him.
We can't see him. We can't touch it. It's unnameable. It's all the Ayin words. It's untouchable, unnameable, non-compartmentable.
Inexistible.
Inexistible. It has no. It has no.
Intangible. Yeah. She never brings it out unless they ask
her. All right.
But it's not just that we're referring to Hashem as Ayin. The Shoresh you have within when you spell it out. So you have Ain, and you also have Ana. So,
when you spell what?
Ayin, what?
When you spell what? Ayin?
Ayin. So within Ayin, you have Ayin, which is nothing, but you also have Ana, which is greatness, which means within this same Shoresh, you have absolute nothingness, lack, and you also have absolute greatness, all encompassing, Ana.
Ana means greatness. And she said, eight. The greatness is, where do you find the greatness of God?
Where it says,
Ein od milvado, Ein. There is nothing else besides. There's nothing else. That's his brainless. That's his exaltedness. But it's good, because you have to get used to the idea that Ayin doesn't mean nothing. Ayin means everything. It's only Ayin from our perspective, because it's all the unwords. Right.
Divide by zero.
So, our mevatling our yeshusness, and bowing down to him, how many bowings down did you do on Yom Kippur, is an action that's meant to reflect a movement of the soul from preoccupation with self to preoccupation with him. Okay.
Oh, Nachas Ruach, thank you.
And this is the great pleasure that he has, that is in front of God.
Yes, you should be a yes, but say batel.
You should be a something, and you should be batel. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be both. He wants this individual. He created individuality for a reason, right? And each of us are meant to express, and I know I'm talking about now, each of us personally, our amazing individual talents, right? This is really diversity as opposed to a melting pot. Mm-hmm. Diversity. That it's a bunch of diverse, each one counting with full value, their particular virtues, and recognizing the virtues of another. This is all brought in the memoriam of Father Parkes in the Southern, when you're up right before Rosh Hashanah, when you're all standing here today, when your heads of your tribes to the bottom, Kulchem, all of you together. And the Alfidari brings out in the mimer that not only are you all given over to each other, meaning that you erase the boundaries, at least conceptually, psychologically, the boundaries between us to become an all, a community, which is what you have to do to become a community, but not only that, but you each need each other. And he brings the example of the head needs the foot in order to, otherwise the head is capped. Right? So no matter where you are, where any of your neighbor or friend is, no matter what that appearance of that person is, if that person, well, since that person has within the, in each one of them a spark of divinity, however it must have been even schlepped into Gullus, into Edom, it's that spark of divinity that you want to capture in the relationship with yourself and with each other. And that's the Nachas Ruach. It gives him great pleasure when we do that.
And this is exactly what Hashem wants.
Yep. And that's why he descended. He caused to descend the radiation of godliness, the expression, the light radiation of godliness through the concealments and the coverings.
Until the world we see, yeah?
Until there should be a yesh, as he said above. Everything expresses my name, expresses my glory, at all the different levels of creation. But also Yitzhakov, Apasis, Adri, Yitzira, and Messiah, the three lower worlds. So what's called Gullus? That's when you take the rays of the Shekhinah, and which is called the ray of godliness, and you draw that, which is called Shekhinah, into what's called the Ayin Sorah.
The Ayin what?
Ayin Sorah. That is the crimsons.
Oh.
Not
no.
Shar.
Oh.
Shar is the Ayin Reish. The Ayin Sorah. Does he explain this yet? Very briefly. The 70 nations of the world.
Oh.
Right. Everything in that exists in creation has a divine spark which brings it into existence, keeps it in existence, and gives it a particular nature or form. Right? And the form of anything, let's take the form of a king, a ruler of the Roman Empire, a president of the United States. That doesn't happen by accident. There's something going on behind the scenes that creates that this particular person at this particular time should be voted into this particular office, or that this particular person should have these particular children, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that force is called a mazel. It's a spiritual energy behind the physical manifestations, to the extent that, as I'll tell us, that there's not a single blade of grass that doesn't have its own mazel telling it what to do, right? Now we'll forget the fear of free choice for a moment. Okay, just leave that aside. And this goes up in level. So you have a million, billions kind of uncountable grains of sand or blades of grass. And you take it up one level, and there's a power, a spiritual energy that's going into each one of them. And if you go up a little more, it forms a hierarchy. And it narrows as it goes up, just like an army. You have the privates and the corporals out in the field. And they had on top of them a sergeant, and there were fewer sergeants and privates, and then lieutenants, etc. So there's a hierarchy. And this hierarchy of spiritual energy are called mazalos, and that's what we're talking about here.
That's the powerful imagery.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? A bit of
painting,
yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. And the Ayin Sorah. So everything, is structured this way. Now we're going from the top down. That there should be this hierarchy of 70 sorts, 70 spiritual channels, to enliven everything down here below. And they are, and the things down here below, each behave as a singular, independent thing on their own.
Leah
Ya'ori is a quote from Paro. Paro says, he's used as the archetype of the person the personality who believes that he's in charge of everything.
Power.
Yeah. Lila, or the river.
The one that was in the jam in the middle of the
night. Yeah.
That one. The one that went down to the
river.
He
pretended to be a guy and he pooped in the river.
He pooped in the river.
Yeah.
I thought he peed in the river.
Pooped. And that's why it took so long.
And by the way, how rude that was, because that was her drinking water.
Awkward.
True. That's what I never thought about.
That was
her denial. Interesting.
Don't be in denial.
So he expresses, so I am the river. Right? And that's the Shekhinah in exile. That's Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah, I mean, has life. And in the early days, he was capable of actually manipulating that life if he knew it during the principle of Avodah Zorah, where Havdol Elef Havdolus, like the master Kabbalists, who could manipulate things higher in their source. So that's a reality, but it's a reality of the Sitra.
So there was like many gods and
like Kishon. Yeah. So Korele Elaka Delaka. He calls God the God of gods. This is a general expression for Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah recognizes that there is, in the hierarchy, there's a general, right? Or commander in chief. There's some place that's the highest place in the hierarchy. We call that God. But these other people are given completely independent. A mandate for just get it done. I don't care how you get it done. So the Roman Empire, let's say, or the King of England, in the days when the British Empire was on the earth, right? You had governors in each of these places, and the king gave orders, get this done. But the king removed himself from the details of how it got done. So that's their version of the idol worship. There is a god. There is a king. But how it gets done is really up to the lower levels, and that's who I'm going to talk to. I'm going to talk to the president. I'm not going to talk to the god, the gods. He doesn't have any political activity.
It's
Elakali Elakai. That's the way it is. Recognizing there is a hard guy ahead of everything, but that head of everything has dispatched independent power and decision to the lower levels. And if I want a tax relief, I'm not going to go to Washington. Well, for scheduling. But, you know, if I want my parking ticket suspended, I'm not going to go to Washington. I'm going to go because he has real power to change things. And that's the idol worship. I recognize the supreme power, but I'm working at the lower level. Idolatry in general is expressed by calling the idol or the spiritual source and empowering force of the idol the God of gods. The gods, which has a god higher than it, but that's not where it goes. And this is called Golas. Yeah, go ahead. So this is called exile, because there's no bittul, right? I am in charge, or this person who I'm going, he or she is in charge, and there's nobody above them.
The opposite of, you know,
it's no better. Exactly. The opposite. Complete opposite.
Ding, ding, ding.
You got it right. The hepech that's the next word. This is totally opposite the intention. And it's the secret of the exile of the
Shekhinah.
So the exile, if you want to know in few words, what's exile? Yeah, simple two words, exile of the Shekhinah. But what does it mean? That the irradiation, the illumination of godliness, which comes from the source, which is the life of all worlds, is fallen. Sukkis Dovid Hamashelis. It's fallen down, the Niklas, and becomes revealed at the lowest of lowest levels, which is the dwelling place of the Klippas, the Shells, the Sitra-Klippas, and the Sitra-Akra, and the chambers of the palaces of the external forces.
Clippers is a basketball team in L.A.
The Clippers.
Oh.
All right. Okay, now that has all been a prelude to the topic
how they
where we're going to start talking in male and female terms.
I was wondering.
What's the flow?
Okay. Anyone else want to read?
I want to read one day.
Not one day.
Come on, this is your chance.
I want to read something just like when it's with my brother about kind of things.
Okay, I'll read something.
You'll read?
The
new paragraph.
The new paragraph? Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Shekhinah is called in the scripture, which we'll see, a mirror. It says, it's God talking to Moses. He says, you don't see me directly, but I will appear to you, my results will appear, in a reflection. You'll see a reflection. So the mashal is this, that just like a mirror, a physical mirror, which is effect, is what? Is to show to a person that which is behind the person. Now, we usually know that ourselves and how our face looks, right? But the interesting thing to think about this, that if you look at it, you can see it back, right?
Yeah.
That's how we do it on our cell phones, flip it backwards. So that's the purpose, and he's going to explain why he's focusing on that, a purpose of the mirror, rather than making up your face.
That Hashem is a reflection.
That Hashem, the Shekhinah, yeah, is a reflective light.
Like a mirror.
Like
and
a
the idea is that you should be able to see behind it.
The idea, well, first, that's not the idea. We're looking at what does that mean? It's a mirror. Think about a mirror. A mirror gives you the ability to see behind you. Okay, well, go ahead. So what?
Never done that.
Go ahead.
Also, should you?
And how does it work?
Okay, Mashma Akhar, right? So you already translated that part. Behainu Ayanesh has a chuk.
So how does the mirror work? You have a thin film, the glass has a hookah, has a spread over it, a thin film of silver paint.
It's my cookies, guys.
A thin film of silver paint.
Good.
Right? And what does the silver paint do? It blocks. Okay, so on that ring bell, block. What block?
It's from the oil.
Huh?
I don't know what.
No, block. Back to the beginning. At the beginning.
Oh, again. Shemeshim again.
Shemeshim again.
Right.
Right.
The shield.
Right. The shield. And.
The Alex Rabbi talks about that Hanukkah time when he talks about Kesef. He talks about Kesef and block. The Alter Rebbe discusses the difference between a window and a mirror in a Hanukkah. I'm trying to think if it's a sikha or a mimer, where he's talking about with kesef, the silver, and how that can silver can be beautiful, but it also what's the word I'm looking for? It blocks our ability to see through to other people.
Okay, but here we're talking about listen. This is a silver of a very particular density.
Right.
And he's going to explain this whole thing. But I'm going to go one step further. Going to say, in fact, what should this remind you of? A mugging, right? Shemesh a mugging, Hashem a king. He already said that. Mm-hmm. But it's a scripture that you quote. It's a connector.
Oh.
It's a connector.
Thank you.
The woman is an Ezra
connector.
On the
shield is a mirror that faces backwards.
Doesn't this also go, according to, the sun and the moon? The same thing.
Yeah, sun and moon
also be.
Sun is the sun. Moon is a reflector of the sun.
But it's also it's kind of like a shield of the sun also.
It's a
right?
Shield.
Right.
Yeah.
She faces backwards from him, doesn't she?
She faces who?
Before the Nisira.
Before the
Nisira? They're front to back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know.
Back to back.
They were carrying back to back, weren't they?
I don't know.
There's a question on it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so think about this while we're talking about the mirror. That we have Ezer that he created, he cut out, we didn't even mention the Nisira yet, but that's how he did it. He cut out a helpmate, an Ezer connector, helping him by reflecting, right? Which is that too. You should die to Kala.
Why? How does that
reflected. Reflected. Not stuck.
I help
not stuck in a And this is it and nothing else. But also I can listen to you and I'll reflect back what you're saying. All right. So this is the mirror. The mirror reflects back. All right, go. So what does it do? This little silver, the correct density of silver on a mirror assures that the light doesn't go through, but neither is it blocked. It's reflected back. If you just put a thick coating of black paint, you won't have a mirror.
Right.
You got to have just
the right color.
Okay, this is the right density.
Very thin. Okay.
So it covers, that's his word, it covers and conceals the glass. Umaneya, did you say that? And it prevents the appearance, this enables that you can see through it, that's the Royas, filthy paper, this fashion, or the halo, so that the light doesn't continue and just pass through the glass. It's not a window. So because of the blocking, and the holding back, there becomes what's called an or chayzer, a reflected light, which I'm not going to say. This is a huge concept in Hasidus, the difference between or yosher, masculine, projected light, versus reflected light. Which is feminine.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
Until what happens? That it affects the vision so that you can see behind you, which means what? And that comes from the power of the glass and the thin silver spray. But you can see, so this is the fun side. Seeing behind you. You can see something that you never saw before.
It's a superpower.
That's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's a superpower, right. Seeing behind you. The connector. The connector enables you to see that which you could not see without this covering.
Mm. Got mirrors today, too, on the side of our car, right?
Yeah.
You got mirrors?
Mirrors.
All right.
On the side.
Yeah,
thanks.
See behind
you.
Yes, that's the point.
Right.
Mirror.
Actually, that's a very good point. I never think of a mirror as something so you can see behind you. But
really?
Car, of course. Of course, no. Yeah. Now that you brought it up,
yeah.
The rear view mirror is totally important.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And this reflective ability is specifically when it's covered with a thin covering, the kolish, and very fine.
My hakesef,
like the silver plate. Yeah.
Aval kishahaya, kishahi, machutza b'chisoy, with the word av.
Av.
For the cheshach v'yira b'kum.
When it's covered with a very dark cover, that blackens, it darkens, then you don't see anything.
But that's not the case with Hashem and the concealment. It's not meant to be something you can't see completely.
Yeah, but it gets to be, right? When the darkness then gets very thick, that's when the clippers, that's when things get, you lose your vision of divinity and you just utilize your powers that have been given to you for the opposite of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the name that's all the time you get with my father's rabbi. He was talking about this muscle, that it's not like we're just in the dark. It's that, like, let's say you're traveling up a mountain, or you get to see the clear view of the road ahead of you, and then the lights go out. You're already given a clear view of our path, of what we're meant to be here for.
Right.
The lights might go out, but we know our direction that we're supposed
to go. As long as you have the visual memory.
Well, we have a memory. We have our neshama has the
memory. Yeah, but that visual memory can just cover it up.
Yes,
and we can lose our touch with it.
But the point of that muscle is that it's still there. That's why even if it's as dark as it gets,
yeah.
We have the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
We have what's given to us as the way, the path, the mm-hmm. way to go. I'm not talking about the visual memory,
yeah.
as the blueprint, as what when we saw it all. We were all at Har Sinai. and our neshamas were all there, and we can get back in touch with that, and then we have that clear path and vision from the darkness.
Yeah.
It's very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't mine. I can't take credit. So from this metaphor, we'll understand the analog.
So from Shabaya Yudke Vodke
is a drawing down from above to below. That's called Or Yashir, straight line.
Malchus
is
Shehu Hamikra
Bishina
Kim. Hainu Bechina Simpson Behester Shaba Mispater Mispater or
Mispater. So Malchus, which is the the place of the Malchus is where the light reaches the mirror and the place where the Orchis is going to be reflected from. This is Malchus. This is, you can think of it, if you know the structure of midos, you have six midos, chesed, to yisod, which all are called zot, zeir antin, and it's masculine because it's projective. And it's projective into the bottom sphere, which is malchus. And malchus, so in the terms of the two names, havaya is the projective energy, and malchus is the reflective energy. So it gets down to where we're getting down to malchus. And that's where it doesn't flow, continue to just flow through. Something's going to happen there in Malchus. Bilti hispashit v'hiskalus oid. When it reaches Malchus, so there's no passing through there. Umachmas,
go ahead. Hanan, you want to read for your brother? You said you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah,
continue.
Sure. Machmas, who the hell is that?
So Malchus is constructed just right. That, yes, the light gets blocked, but it also gets reflected. So he chayzer, right?
I'm sorry, you said it gets blocked and it gets reflected?
Yeah, because the light in a mirror has to get blocked. It can't pass through the light. It can't pass through the glass.
So Malchus comes from the Helen Zoo, through this symptom in the concealment, not the chayzer, it creates the reflective light, it turns
and elevates. As you said, it gets you to be able to see something that you couldn't have seen before.
Superpower.
Yeah.
As Leslie said. Lamaila Maila Yitzhar elevated higher and higher. Mekfiya Erech Kaych Mekar Ha'ar. Comparatively speaking to the source of where the light came from.
It reflects back even higher than the source of the Ha'ar, the source of the ray, not the source of sources, which is God itself. Mm-hmm. But the source of the originating ray, because it reflects back higher.
But if it projects and reflects, doesn't it do that in a loop?
What do you mean?
Light projects.
You mean the light comes down to
and
it?
And then it gets reflected.
It's reflected back.
Yeah. Shouldn't it then become?
It will. Yeah. Then it will become. It will be another cycle, but even from a higher source. Because remember, the light is reflected back to an office, a place that you couldn't, because that's behind you, that's higher than you. And that's the created energy. And it has the power to create. All this stuff coming down, even though it's godly, it doesn't create. It doesn't create a chiddush. It doesn't create something novel. There's something novel is this reflected process that gets to something that couldn't ordinarily be seen, couldn't ordinarily be reviewed.
If you're reflecting it instead of absorbing it, does it really be true?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. The light reaches like, does that cause change?
Right. But if it bounces, if you're reflecting, if it hits and it reflects back, you don't absorb it.
But you are, you're looking at the you as a kid.
Okay,
this is a piece of plastic, right? This is you. You have a reflective capability, a reflective power, power so intense that it is able to reach back deeper than the source of the Havaya and actually bring new things into being, i.e. a child from a womb.
But, I think what your question is, if there's a reflection on the receiving end, that point there's no reflection. It's just you're reflecting it back. And then it goes back higher than the source. But there's no
effect on the mirror.
There's no mirror effect on the other end.
No, she's saying the fact that you're projecting, that you're reflecting, doesn't mean that you're not also absorbing.
So that's my question. If you're reflecting, are you also absorbing?
For sure, 100%.
Yeah, you are absorbing. But you're not absorbing into the dark black hole. And that would be if it is too much solidity, too much blackness on this other side of the air. Mm-hmm. This has to be absorbed and then bounced back. Yeah. Yes.
So maybe like one of those one-way mirrors is our explanation.
A one-way mirror?
Mm-hmm. Like interrogation.
You're also absorbing. Oh, wow, that's so cool.
That's the new one.
Yeah.
Is it true, though?
You know, in the
it's cool, but is it true?
well, you know, it's a mirror that is reflecting back, and also they're absorbing it because
you
couldn't see on the other side.
But yeah, it depends who. Like, two separate people could see and absorb.
I think this is getting too tight.
Okay,
this
okay.
Is focus on the reflection.
Hashem looking at us from the other side of the one-way mirror.
Yeah, but that's not relevant. It's true. It's true, but it's not relevant to the mission so much. The mushroom is the reflective code.
I always think of those museums where people are making those funny faces in the mirror. That's what I think about when I think of the mirror.
Okay. But the point for here, let's read these lines. Because the line begins with Bilti Pistachia. It doesn't allow the light to go through. That is right. It doesn't allow the light to go through. And because of the contractedness, which is the equivalent to the silver paint behind it, the darkening, symptom telling. Nasha Rahoizer, that becomes a reflected light. Shuhoizer Va'oilah, which is reflected and elevated. Lamaila Maila, much, much higher. Yoisin, more. Mikifi Era Koyat Makahaora, than the level of the source of the radiation. Amispashekis, which flows through, which has come from the Shem Havaya. It goes higher than, deeper than. We spoke earlier about consciousness, right? God's consciousness. At some level, relatively exterior level, there emerges these constructs which we call names, Abaya and Elohim. But there are deeper levels of consciousness. And this mirror goes back to what you don't normally see for the deeper levels of consciousness.
Let me just say that when the light reflects, think of a child into a woman. The woman absorbs the man and then reflects back a child that looks exactly, but like the father, and even better, bigger and better version.
It says, greater is the power of the son than the father.
It should be.
So, but that's the reflection. That's how you reflect the father. You give him a child. First you absorb it.
And then
you gestate it, and then you reflect it.
But you give back.
What you look like
this
child.
But
that's beautiful.
It is, but you missed one little point. It's better than.
Right.
Isn't just reflective of the father. Right. It's better than.
Which is like the light.
Yeah, that's the bouncing back. Uh-huh. Deeper than.
Yeah.
Deeper than the projected.
The children always get the best of their parents. They learn the bad and they don't want to do, you know, what they're seeing.
So that's Yoko Koya.
Nice to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Kosov.
Nice.
And this, when it's constructed correctly, this mirror, when the woman is constructed correctly, she's an Azer and Egdor. There's a certain opposition in Egdor, which is the bounce back, but it's a help because it creates something totally new, a chiddush, a new creation. Okay.
I'm just taping out.
Okay. Unless you caught something, you're still reading?
No,
The Baila is. The Baila starts, where does maleness start in the spirits? Chokhmah is called Abba, Bina is mother. Mother has the connection to Atik, which is the crown, higher than the whole structure whatsoever, through her reflective capability, the power to reflect back to higher levels than Chokhmah. And that's what we mean. Beshes Chayla Teres Labaila. She becomes a crown. She draws. When she's working as she's meant to, designed to work, she draws new energy into the man.
Yeah.
That the man can't access himself. He draws from the crown.
Because the crown, I want to tell him what you said. That like the crown, the bottom of the crown is touching the head, and the top of the crown is touching the spiritual, touching God.
Yeah.
Higher than the
You could say the bottom of the crown is touching the Yesh, the whole structure of,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and the top of the crown is an interface to beyond. So the woman of valor, she's strong in her womanhood. She she is able to draw down an infusion from a higher level closer to the higher self.
And remember that the crown itself is on top of the head. It's not like...
It's not part of the body.
It's on top, meaning it's like kind of above rationality.
That also defines her as the shield. It's also when a woman walks around her husband under the chuppah, also to serve as a protective force.
Right, and there's a pasuk for that. There's a pasuk. Yisha Sagavis Gavra. The woman surrounds the man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Protective force, yes.
So whatever, any spiritual... just to also to bring him down to earth. Like the woman is at home. It's like...
That's another...
Wrap him up.
You are so full of positive.
One of the first things I learned in Yeshiva, I didn't know what it meant. Someone told me, here's a secret I want to tell you. The secret in the Olive Bays. Olive Bays stands for Isha Besa. The woman is the house.
Yeah.
Now, in my, coming from secular culture, you mean like she keeps the house? And
great,
what kind of Yiddish is that? I said what you said, basically. She makes the house, which is the house of God, the entirety of creation. The house that for God to live in is made by
the woman.
Yeah, a woman really protects her husband's spirituality, essentially.
For what?
I said, essentially, a woman protects the spirituality of her husband.
Yeah. And draws down from into the man higher levels of spirituality.
That's the
Ar Chayda,
it's the reflection.
Yeah. You can see.
That the light of the Levana is like the light of the moon is like the light of the
moon.
Yeah. Basically meaning that like the reflection is so strong that the reflection is coming off of Levana.
Well, he's going to explain. He's going to explain what you're saying.
I'm a commercial.
Commercial Hamara. Like
an analogy
of the conversation.
Oh, sorry. No, we're
sorry.
He says that the moon will be like the sun. And that's like a muscle of the mirror.
That through the cover and the concealment that is blocking the light, not the Orchodosh Adlamechak. Orchizer Adlamechak, the Dilemma.
It creates a light which is reflected back way far, way far deep.
It goes way back. The Dilemma is itself understood or something? No.
The dilemma is in the
Understood to those who understand.
This is a drush and a piece of scripture that says there's a korban oil, right? The korban oil is all burnt up. It's called an oil. It all goes up.
What's
Olah Shabbat? Olah Shabbat the Shabbat. The simple pshat of this is there's a korban oil of Shabbos. It's brought on Shabbos. Each and every Shabbos. But the drush is, Shabbos itself gets an elevation. So where does that come through? Through the Or Chayzer. There's an oilus to Shabbos to Shabbat. There's an elevation in each Shabbos through the Shabbos. The woman herself is Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos is Malchus.
Shabbos is Malchus, right? And this Shabbos has a quality of this particular Shabbos elevates other Shabbos.
Shabbos is really
Shabbos,
centered,
Shabbos,
and everything.
Right? Shabbos is tight returning.
Return.
It's an infinite progression, or regression, however you want to look at it, back to the source. And that's the reflective capability, power in woman.
That's
why I love the 54, because he's beautiful.
Okay.
This is Ba'ula's Baal is the intimacy, this intimate relationship between a man and a woman. When a man has that relationship with a woman, he himself is elevated through the intimate relationship with a woman.
But it says that she goes up with him.
And she goes up with him.
Right.
Goes up with him. Baal is Baal. Shel Baal Oyla Ima. She goes up with him.
Huh.
Yeah, so I've shown you I appear to you in your appearance. I give an appearance to you. So this appearance, and this is back to Leslie, what we were talking about earlier, that this shine of godliness is invested in every neshama, and every neshama has what I call it here, capability and responsibility to exhibit and tear away the thick darkness and let that light shine. So that's what he's saying. That the union of the coming down of the neshama into a body and all the concealment is for the sake of an aliyah, laxer, to reflect, return, come back. Mematu lamayla. And where is that reflective quality embodied? In the lady, in the woman. Now, I want to just say a word here, just getting back to what our scripture. Remember that at the outset, this Adam was an entity that had two parsufa. They had two structures within him, within it. We'll call it an image, right? So, this Adam originates as a composite of male and female. And the truth is that every man and every woman is some kind of deposit for both of them. Now, every woman has projective capabilities. This is what I think of the women's liberation movement focusing singularly on. Be like a man. Become a CEO. Get out of the kitchen. That was the old women, the original women's liberation movement in the 60s. But that power, so clearly that power is there in a woman. And it's clearly there in a man. And then the power to reflect, I mean, a man has to have the power to reflect as well. You can't just, take everything and just run. You don't make decisions like that that are going to be the long-lasting good decisions, whether you're a CEO or whether you're just running a project. You have to reflect about it. So men have qualities of projection and reflection, and women have. Why? Because we are all originated as a singular male-female entity. It's just that after the Asira, this power is more present in a woman, and this other power is more present in a man.
The same way that our DNA is basically all the same except for X and Y, right?
I mean, I don't know
about
whatever
it is, right? Isn't it like
but the sex determination you have in 40,
the last one is X or Y.
The sex determination, I know this much, is fluid in every human being until 40 days when it becomes concretized in one way or another. And the reason that it's fluid is because they're both contained within us.
But also, Hashem created the world with ten spheres, and everything is made up of ten spheres.
Right. Which are composites of male and female. Right and left. Male and female. Absolutely. So that was just an interjection, right?
So even now, every human has some balance of masculine and
feminine. Right. And some balance of masculine and feminine. The way we're defining it, which is the Kabbalistic, Torahic way of looking at things, the power of projecting and the power of reflecting. We can't live with just raw energy. We have to ingest it and contract it, make it our own, and live with it, and then do something with it. In order to become, just think of just simple creating a work of art, You have to, I'm not a painter, so that's not a good thing. But think about music. You can't just play notes. There has to be some kind of structure to deliver something that's tonally pleasant to another person. So you have to have some.
Do you play music?
I play music.
Yeah.
Right? Lately, I play the blues harp. I used to play the saxophone.
Wait, what's the blues harp?
The blues harp is a little harmonica.
If you write music, let's say.
I don't write music.
But if you did and you were to create some new creation,
right.
You could easily create a masterpiece with another man or with another woman.
Sure. You could be collaboration between two men if you, yeah.
So I'm just curious, like,
so
if you can reflect and you can create and both have masculine and feminine, then what is the reflection between the man, which only talking about between the man and
woman? I'm confused. You get it? You're talking about collaboration between two guys?
If women are reflection.
Yeah, but men can, and men also.
A man is either using his power of projecting or his power of reflecting. That man has both powers. And the women,
and the women have both
powers.
Yeah.
So you're either using your power of projecting or your power of reflecting. You can use either one.
Which, you can use them both at the same
time. You use them both at the same time? I'm
thinking about a
collaboration. So if we're going with a music approach, why don't we just look at it as you have the melody and you have the harmony? So one may appear to be more dominant at one point, and the other is more reflective at one point, but you need the harmony and you need the melody.
It's true. I was just thinking just of two guys collaborating on making a Broadway show, right? And the notion that each one of them is going to put forth something, that's masculine, but that they can listen to each other and absorb what the other is saying is a feminine
quality. That's how you collaborate.
That's called collaboration.
Right.
Huh?
The greatest receiver knows how to give.
Say this again?
The greatest giver knows how to receive.
Yeah.
And the greatest receiver knows how to give.
Good.
Absolutely.
That works. Beautiful. Hi.
Talk about in the middle of a podcast.
So.
What?
Can we go further?
Cool. Yeah. I don't know about you, Tony.
Now we've got next week, so I'm trying to listen.
What time is it over?
Yes.
What time is it?
Over.
Way over time.
How does all of the Torah over?
That part of the Torah over.
All right, so
all
I think.
Of the Torah.
All right, so here's
over.
You guys asked me anyway. To, I don't know if you guys talked to each other, but you asked me to get 2 weeks in advance.
That's what I've been asking for, yeah.
So what, I, what I'd like to do.
At least the weekend advance.
Okay, 1 week in advance. What I'd like to do. Let's continue with this. No, this is a lot of beautiful stuff we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah.
And then go into the next minor about how God formed the man. And I think we can spend probably another certainly week or two on this one subject.
Yeah.
The subject is the human being.
Could we spend the entire
creation
being
here? We could do
that. I've
always wanted
to
do that.
I was going to say, we could spend the whole year on Voracious. It's gorgeous.